Morning. The opening of bids meeting is called to order. Ladies and gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana from the Advocate, Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 44856 through 44862 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. We have received a request from Texas Petroleum Investment Company dated April 9th, 2018, requesting to pull track 44859 from today's lease sale or otherwise suspend and delay. The staff has carefully reviewed the said letter and attachments thereto, and track number 44859 will be open and read in open session. There are no other letters of protest for today's lease sale. There are no other tracks recommended for withdrawal from today's lease sale. We will now proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. We did not receive any bids on track 44856. We did receive one bid on track 44857, advertised as 135 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 70 acres. 70 acres. The bidder is Energy 21 Offshore LLC. Energy 21, that's a correction. The bid is from Energy 21 Onshore LLC. Energy 21 Onshore LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $17,500. $17,500, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $8,750. $8,750. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44858, advertised as 130 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 56 acres. The bidder is Crescent Resources, LLC. Crescent Resources, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $13,328. $13,328. Or a per acre value of $238. Annual rentals are $6,664. $6,664. Royalties are 21.5%. We received one bid on track 44859, advertised as 554 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 16.5 acres. 16.5 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. K Exploration Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,927. $3,927, or a per acre value of $238. Annual rentals are $1,963.50. $1,963.50. Royalties are 21.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 44860. We did receive one bid on track 44861, advertised as 73.846 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Clark Energy Company, Inc. Clark Energy Company, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $192,073.45. $192,073.45, or a per acre value of $2,601. Annual rentals are $96,036.73. $96,036.73. Royalties are 25%. As additional consideration, no surface operation shall be conducted on the lease premises without the express written consent of lessor. We received one bid on track 44862, advertised as 13.61 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Rovig Minerals, Inc. Rovig Minerals, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $2,722. $2,722, or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $1,361. $1,361. Royalties are 20%. That will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We have to say, the state has to say.
I'm sure that's
that
is
we have to say. With this new one, we don't do that. Okay. So,
the language
is going to be a lot here.
Is that okay?
Yes,
sir. Okay. Maybe we could just tell him.
My coffee, I wander around with it and set it down in the room.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, she's so sorry.
Jamie, can you turn on your mic? Testing. Good morning, everyone. The meeting is called to order, the meeting of the State Mineral and Energy Board. Can we have the roll call, please?
Yeah, Ms. LeBlanc?
Present.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Secretary Harris?
Present.
Ms. Michu Dugas?
Here.
Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead?
Here.
Mr. Carter? Mr. Bradbury?
Here.
Okay, we have one, two, three. six, seven. We have seven members present. We have a quorum.
Very good. Let's all stand for the pledge, please. Can I have a motion for the approval of the minutes? Mr. Arnold?
Second.
Mr. Hollishead? Any comments from the board? Any comments from the public? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We'll now have staff reports. Lease review report by Mr. Jason Talbot and Charles Bradbury.
Thank you, Chairman, member of the board. I'm here to present the lease review report today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,196 active leases covering nearly 530,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 95 covering 53,000 acres for lease maintenance and development. Today we have one lease discussed in more detail today. That lease being State Lease 173, Caddo Pine Island Field, Gemini Exploration, and APV Caddo Pine Island, or our lessees. The board last reviewed this lease on March 8, 2017, and that same day, Gemini Exploration Incorporated made an appearance before this board to discuss the particulars of their P&A obligation over the lease. And since that time, the staff has redirected their efforts toward development over the lease among two primary parties, Gemini and APV Caddo Pine Island Development LLC. And I will make a presentation before board today. Okay. I'm going to kind of grab the mic here so I can walk around. All right, here's the first two statutes, first one being basically the board's marching orders to and duties that the board has to enforce. And what's significant about 129A, I like that word recovery of non-producing lease acreage. And I want to say today that the board has an opportunity to involve itself in recovery, and if there's any lease that fits the bill for recovery of non-producing acreage, I would say that State Lease 173 meets that bill. And I hope to through these slides show you where there is lots of non-producing acreage that's not being developed, and that the board should exercise their duty to recover this acreage. LRS 31-122, words like good faith, develop, reasonably prudent, and mutual benefit of himself and his lessor. Okay, just a little background. If you didn't know, this is where this lease is located. It's in the northwest corner of the state. It's a very near Old City. Now, this is the slide just showing the concentration of wells that were drilled on the lake. The graphics on this slide are, those are should be well symbols, but when I put it on this laptop, it's just little black marks, but those are well bores. And you can see there are quite a few wells that were once drilled in the lake. And here's a couple of facts. Right now, this is a 6,500 acre lease. It is the largest state lease in North Louisiana. No acreage has ever been officially released. The basic producing formations are the Pettit Lime, the Biloxi, Fredericksburg, and the Anona Chalk, and some Nacogdoches. Approximately, I think that number might be higher. I had 266, so it's just a count I did in the lake, but that number could very well be higher than that. Most of those wells were all drilled by Gulf Refinery, which is now Chevron. However, they assigned their interest to Jim and I back in 1991. Currently, over the lease, there are approximately 56 wells, most of which were all drilled by Gulf. Seven of those wells Jim and I controls and are producing in the Biloxi. Current average production is 26 barrels per day. There are 49 wells that are shut in that Jim and I controls over the lease. Over 26 years that Jim and I has been in the lease, I counted only 11 wells that were drilled. APV is our other lessee over the lease since 2006. They got an assignment from Jim and I to develop the Anona Chalk. They have two wells producing on the lease, and their current production is 3 barrels per day. This slide here is basically showing where the producing wells are and the shut-in wells are. So all these wells, bores on the lease, are not plugged yet. Of course, the producing wells, would you want to keep those producing. But the little yellow circle around the top there, that is APD's interest. They have two wells, or two horizontal wells, that are drilled down into the lake from the land. This slide just shows only the producing wells. So you can see there's a lot of that lake where there's not any well bores currently producing. And I just did a little graphic there to show where the concentration of producing wells are. There's one little well down in the southwest corner here. And again, 3 barrels per day from the APV's interest, and 26 barrels per day with Jim and I's interest. Now, this slide here is very telling. I mean, when you look at the concentration of black dots here, which are all producing wells on private acreage, and then you look down here in the lake. I mean, just the picture paints 1,000 words. The development you see here is not translated down in the lake where our interest is. And as a steward of the state's minerals, I think the board has an obligation to enforce the statute for prudent development and recovery of non-producing acreage. This slide basically is showing you the top 10 state leases with the largest acreage. And you can see most of all the leases are down in South Louisiana. So that makes this the top number one acreage lease in North Louisiana. Here is some royalty numbers that I ran on for 2017. And that puts basically, you can see these are in millions of dollars. And as you look down the list here, State Lease 173 ranks the lowest. And one other note too, 335 is not far behind, but we just got a bid today right up against 335. So someone's wanting to develop some acreage near 335, where we will get a new state lease and better terms, a better royalty. It's just a little graph I plotted of those same numbers. Okay, I'm not going to go through all of these bullets. Board members, you have in your packet this presentation before you. You can read through them. I'm not going to go through everyone, but essentially 19 years, Jim and I, for the most part, their mode of operation has been plugging wells over the lease, and the board has approved those plugging activities. I'm going to pick up starting January 13. There's a lot more history before that. I'm going to pick up with January 13, 1999. And basically, the board gave Jim and I three options regarding 173. And those were the options. And Jim and I chose to exercise option three by July 2nd, 1990, Jim and I advised they had only P&A two wells. So option three required 12 wells by July 14th, 1999. So in a nutshell, Jim and I's performance was incomplete. Therefore, the board required submission of a partial release to be held by OMR and that Jim and I continue to P&A additional wells. Here's some more history that took place, again, surrounds mainly about around the P&A-ing of wells. Now, another thing that I would put note, by 2007, Jim and I began granting assignments to several parties to develop this lease. And I can say for the most part, of the three, two of these assignments that Jim and I made of their acreage were not successful. And I don't know if you can really say the current Anona Chalk play production would be considered at best marginal success. So really the cash consideration that the assignees have been given Jim and I over these assignments are believed to be a significant windfall for Jim and I, and thus the primary reason Jim and I keeps the entire acreage in possession. So again, a summary of this slide, another performance event proved to be incomplete. Therefore, the board did require a second submission of a partial release for OMR's possession. Jim and I did manage to drill two wells in lieu of P&A activity. Jim and I has assigned and subleased their interest to multiple parties where they receive, again, significant cash consideration, with really absent any real benefit to the lessor. And if you remember, the statute says a mutual benefit to both the lessee and the lessor. And I can't really say that the lessor, meaning the state, was a mutual benefit. This is a taken from the assignment that was given to Tacoma and Anadarko. And it's just to give you a dollar value of what they could have received. And I don't know for certain because this was for the, if they wanted to extend the lease, the assignment for two more years. Well, $475 an acre over 6,500 acres is quite significant. I don't know, somewhere around $3 million. Here's some more history on the issue of P&A wells. And I'm not going to go through all this, but what the last discussion, they were before the board in March 8, 2017, and basically centered around these wells here, which are off the lease. These wells here are located on levee board district acreage. And there was a compliance order issued by the commissioner that they plugged these wells. But they were still under the obligation to plug the wells over the state lease. Jim and I chose not to plug our wells for the yearly obligation and focused only on these wells. So there were two yearly P&A obligations were not met, thereby requiring Jim and I to appear before the board on two separate occasions. Now this is where we shift emphasis. Back in September, the geologist and myself decided We were going to try to shift the emphasis away from the P&A and shift that emphasis on development. When you look at the number of wells that are currently producing over the lease, we felt like, again, the need to address development was more important. And so the staff, again, we did have a meeting with Jim and I December 2017 to discuss their plan of development with the staff. By February 2018, APV responded by letter outlining their development plans. And these are some of the summary points of what those plans included. Now, again, you can read over those in your attachment, in your binder. And when you look at Annona Chalk production, because APV basically has argued that they have developed their interest fully, and when you look at the production, it's hard to say with that low-level production that development over the entire lease has been accomplished. So again, another summary of those points. APV, who is the other party, their basic plan of development was right now that because of the commodity prices, new development is not profitable. The third party that Jim and I are seeking was to seek to develop the Pettit Formation. When you look at the party that they mentioned to develop their acreage, there are some concerns. Currently, Deseret Interest has 7 wells in North Louisiana, and only 3 of those are producing. And their current daily production is 5 barrels today and 100 MCF a day. And when you look at this is a compliance report that we pulled from Sunrise. There's some compliance issues with this operator. And when you also look in Sunrise, anytime you see a red box around the operator, that means there's outstanding compliance issues with the Office of Conservation. So questions with this third party, just the level of their resources and ability to perform, and just the compliance issues with the Office of Conservation. So the staff is recommending to the board that Jim and I and APV both join in a release of their interest within Section 16, 17, and so on. Here is a map of that acreage. What you see in the reddish, burnt reddish color is acreage that they will retain. The green acreage is the acreage that we are wanting the board to recover in accordance with the statute. And one of the things that you'll notice is that in this yellow outline, that is the Jeems Bayou Pettit unit. It's been there a long time. And there is plenty of acreage to develop the Pettit inside this yellow boundary. Also, if you look, there's another purple outline. That is a Annona Chalk unit that was formed by the commissioner. So APV has all the acreage that they need to develop the Annona Chalk in that unit. And to be honest, they're only involved in just a little, probably less than 100 acres up to the north here. So we feel we're not pulling the rug out from under any of these lessees to develop their acreage. But we think it is reasonable, considering only the wells that are producing now, how much royalties the state is receiving on this lease, that to ask for a release of this green acreage is within the board's authority. One other recommendation is that Gemini P&A 6 wells per year until 2023, or such time that a past inventory, those are wells that should have been plugged, past inventory of 10 wells or P&A, after which the P&A schedule will return to 4 wells per year or 2 wells drilled per year in lieu thereof. So that pretty much concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Let the minutes show, please, that Chairman Segura has entered the meeting at 9:50. Thank you, and he will now presume with the meeting. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone here on behalf of APB or that would like to speak?
Thank you, Chairman and Board. My name is Randall Sonji. I'm with the Onabain Law Firm. We represent APV, and Jason indicated that a copy of our response was in your packet dated February 8th. We have an interest only in the shallow Anona Chalk well, so I'm only going to speak to that. We came to the board and indicated back in 2015 a plan for development. We drilled a well and reworked a well in late 2015, less than 3 years ago, spent $6 million. We proved that there are hydrocarbons in the Anona Chalk, as indicated in the letter. And I'm not going to spell out all the reasons we put in the letter that we feel like we've developed as a reasonably prudent operator, but I would point out that that is the standard. Whether the party has developed the lease as a reasonable and prudent operator, and included in that inquiry, we believe, is what are the economics of drilling an additional well, and that the current economic conditions, including the price, factor into that. So the fact that there may not be wells on every spot in the lease as on the chalk doesn't end the inquiry. You have to look at what a reasonable and prudent operator would do. We feel like we've done that, and I would simply refer you to our letter response for more details. But we think we have complied with the law, and we think a demand for release of our acreage, at least as to the Anona Chalk, would be inappropriate. Glad to answer any questions.
Jason, do you have any comments to that?
Well, I think what I pointed out is that the Commissioner Rockwell, who was the prior operator, they got their assignment. Rockwell assigned their interest to APV. They formed a Anona Chalk unit. And I feel like that's sufficient acreage for them to develop their interest now. And I would say, as I pointed out, that the two wells currently producing in 3 barrels a day, there's probably a drainage area of less than 100 acres, and the unit itself is fairly large. I think it may be as large as, well, I don't know that, but if you look at the picture that I shown, you can see it up there. It's the purple outline. It's a fairly large unit. And I think that's sufficient acreage for APV to develop the chalk.
And their operations as they stand now are in the extreme north and northwest of that area. Is that right?
Right. Their interest, their two wells basically sit right here.
I would just add, in light of that, that the Anona Chalk is very shallow, less than 2,000 feet, and our attempt to develop it has been through a horizontal well with fracking. And that's very difficult to do at that shallow depth. There are technological issues, and I would point out there is, as all of you are probably aware, the Austin Chalk being developed in Louisiana, technological improvements over the last two times the Austin Chalk was attempted to be developed. particularly as to fracking techniques to make the chalk productive. And I think those developments through the Austin Chalk will provide APV with information to more productively develop. We understand that our current production is marginal, but we believe that there'll be technological advances through the Austin Chalk development that will allow us to have better completion techniques to make this a more profitable venture. And while there is a big unit, we don't feel that we should be limited from developing any portion of the lease that we have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Does any of the board have any questions? Mr.
Yes. Bradbury. Can you come back to the table,
yeah.
please?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Bradbury, probably went over my head, but so what are your plans for development? Well, how do you see the future, and what are your plans for development? And in the same breath, I'll ask you, what do you need in oil price to make your wells economic and from where you stand?
That's a good question. It's probably closer to $80 a barrel than where we are now, in the $60 barrel range. In terms of the plan for development, it's outlined in our letter, but specifically one of the things that needs to be done, because we have shallow wells, horizontal wells, and fracking, and a lot of old wells in the lease, we feel like we've got to get a handle on exactly where all of those old wells are and whether they have been properly plugged and abandoned, because fracking a well in a shallow zone under Cross Lake could have disastrous environmental consequences. So we need to get that done while we're having the technology develop to allow this to be more productive. So that's our plan.
But do you have a sense of how long you're willing to wait, or how long you think we should allow you to wait before that development happens?
I mean, a good while. We just spent $6 million less than 3 years ago, and we're looking at that development. And, you know, I don't have a particular timetable, but I think we need to see how the Austin Chalk develops because of the analogy, see what technology comes out of that, and, you know, who knows how long that development will take. And then see if, based on that technology, we have the ability to drill wells that are more profitable.
That's at $80 a barrel. Can you get on location in the water as opposed to drilling a horizontal well from land? It seems to me that drilling a horizontal well is a hell of a lot more expensive than a 2,000-foot well.
Correct. And drilling it on the water is another technological issue. The wells we have were, the surface locations is on land, and we drill them under the lake. And frankly, I don't have the technical background to tell you whether or not we could do that from a barge location or some sort of location on water. I think that would either be more difficult or cost prohibitive right now to do that.
Thank you. From the state's perspective, do we have any indication that you have other operators that are willing to come in here and drill wells in a vertical position and are excited about that acreage?
I don't know that firsthand, but when you look at the amount of wells on the private acreage that have been that are producing, it could be one of these operators that operate on the land. Maybe if you look at this slide here, there could be an operator that operates in this area here who's willing to come in here and develop this acreage. So, but as far as firsthand information, I don't have.
Assistant Secretary.
Yeah, you know, I just want to respond to a couple of things that Randy said. You know, the time frame for their further development of the Enona Chalk, you know, is unknown, but I think what is known is that that development won't reach these areas where Jason's asking to be released. You know, this is not a Nona Chalk acreage. And so, you know, that's really shouldn't be a concern. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, while the economics for a particular operator is one of the questions that you might look at for reasonable development, you know, that's not where it ends, though, you know, because the thing is, and this is what I've heard a couple of people say on this acreage out here, is that, well, if you get rid of these folks, who's going to want to come in? And we hear this sometimes from folks, you know, either in South Louisiana for some of these bigger leases that we're trying to get released. They'll say, well, look, you know, if you get us out here, we have all the, you know, facilities and stuff out here. If you get us out here, who's going to come in? And that is never a reason to allow acreage to be retained, because a lot of times a geologist is sitting there looking at our acreage on Sunrise and they'll see this Caddo Lake and it has a lease covering it all. And maybe they'll talk to their buddy down the hallway and go, you know, I've got some ideas out here in Caddo Lake. I wish some of this acreage would get freed up. And so, you know, once we free up acreage, then it allows people to look at it. This new operator that would come in may have different economics, you know, than the one sitting there right now. They may have different technology to use, too. But if the acreage is covered, then it never gets considered, you know. And that's, so, you know, the point that, well, it may not be economic for us right now, or, you know, who else is going to come out here, to me, is never a consideration for allowing acreage to be retained.
Is there anybody here from Gemini that would like to speak? Yeah, come on up to the front. Identify yourself over the microphone and say what you may.
I'm Eugene Duchamp with Gemini Explorations. We've been on Caddo Lake for 42 years, incidentally. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm James Mazzella. I'm with Gemini Explorations.
I'm disturbed to a point where I just flabbergasted. I didn't know that we were going to have such a meeting today. I thought the meeting in December, we presented with you folks, and we sent back our plan to have Greg Hall and Kevin Zurich drill a horizontal pedit well. They desired all of the acreage because the acreage that was drilled by Gulf in the 50s in the pedit were only the good areas. The really impermeable areas that they are seeking is on the whole of the lake, and they're getting that reservoir engineer's report performed, and it should be finalized this week. And they're willing to spend $3 and $4 million in drilling a horizontal well in the lake. As far as holding production because of whatever, folks come to us all of the time. Who's that company, the big one, that came and drilled a dry hole on the lake?
Anadarko.
Pretty reputable company. They leased it, they drilled it, and they left it. It's no production in the pedit, what's that?
Haynesville
Shale. We have been on Caddo Lake since 1973, not 1991. 91, we plugged over 300 wells for Chevron that took Gulf over, and they awarded us for a partial payment to give us their acreage on Caddo Lake, which you folks approved. Since that time, we drilled over 30 wells, not 17. We've got Paluxy and Fredericksburg out there, and chalk. And the chalk does, in fact, go on the entirety of the lake. Folks, you wouldn't want to live on Caddo Lake and see those wells in the lake like that. These are Anona chalks. They're 1,600-foot wells, and they're a quarter to a third of a barrel of oil a day. And that's not an economical situation at all. It's not prudent in any case. We have always, Jason, we have always done what the board's requested. Always. We plugged 5 wells for Texas. So there's about 17 more wells to go, 13 wells to go. We plugged 5 wells for the levee board. That was drove by the Allens. We took it over, and we were plugging those. And then we plugged five wells for the state, and we just submitted that to you. Our submittance was, what, in January? We requested that we be able to plug five wells for 4 years.